Howdy, and welcome to episode 33 of Hello Fairview, your local podcast made right here in Fairview for the people in Fairview, Tennessee and the surrounding areas. This is a weekly show released every Wednesday featuring stories that aim to inform and inspire. Local radio stations and newspapers don't exist in small towns like ours, so we'll use Hello Fairview to fill that void with news related to Fairview. This is a value for value podcast, which means you contribute what you can based on the value you receive. This concept was founded by the podfather himself, Adam Curry, and his co-host, John C. Dvorak of the No Agenda Show over 18 years ago. Currently, this is just a one-man operation, so if you have any ideas, events, business opportunities, job openings, or just overall news, please don't hesitate to let me know. Use the contact form on the website, and we'll work to get that into the updates for the next episode. You are a producer of the show. You are not the product because your time and attention are not being sold to advertisers for their value. Some shows will be longer, others will be shorter, but I always try to do my best to keep things relevant. Traffic time. Well, it's definitely still construction busy, where you can wait anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes in the morning and afternoon to make a left or sometimes a right on Highway 100 between Old Cox and the Rec Center. The sidewalk project and the Bowie Park is from Bowie Park to the Rec Center. The road closures have been further down towards the Rec Center and the school as those drains and the utility work of relocating those utilities have been done. There's been a lot of problems with school pickup times because the hours that they're operating is till 3 p.m. and 2:30 is when most people are starting to go to the middle and high school to get in line along with the buses there before the elementary school. So I put the two references there because basically the TDOT has two projects that are going on. We've went into this a little bit before. Is we have the sidewalk project, which is Charlie November Zulu 164. So CNZ 164 is our project. And then the other one is relocating gas main, which is LM3. And so these are all related. And so it shows on TDOT's website that 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the working time when there should be flagging operations and single lanes and everything like that. So it seems like they go a little later than that sometimes, but I guess it's also just the heat of the battle. Red light update. We still have five, Old Cox, Publix, Walmart, and the two at I-40. We've seen the city center entrance and Cumberland 100 intersections kind of going. And once those happen, we'll see if that actually helps or hurts traffic for there. City center is definitely going. Most everything is paved. That mountain of fill dirt is done. And there's actually some traffic counters as we head towards it. So there's a traffic study going on Highway 100 right now. Not sure for who it's for, if it's for city center or for any of the other things that are getting ready to pop up on there. We're growing. Well, city news, it was election day this past week, and we have the primary results. And so we are in District 1, if anyone had ever known. Basically, that's kind of the whole west side of the county, including a little bit of the south side that doesn't include Franklin. In some of the areas around that. So Andy Marshall is becoming our Republican nominee for mayor, and Andy and Ricky D. Jones will be our candidate for county commissioner, with just 15 votes separating them on that county commissioner race. So we had basically 22,000 people vote for the county mayor, and that's where Andy Marshall won by 12,864 to 10,000. Whereas for our county commissioner, we had 1,188 votes, and then just 1,173 votes for Andrew Mitchell. So very, very tight race. And then it's really interesting that we had that many more votes for county mayor than we did for county commissioner, when I would have thought those numbers would have been basically the same, because those people are in the voting booth. And if you're there, it's on the ballot. So I'm not sure how that kind of worked out. Other than that, we've got our 15th anniversary of our July 4th celebration, where we're going to have Rubric's Groove, School of Rock, Nashville, Brian Ree, and Colby Oakley. And that all that starts basically at lunchtime from that time on. At 2:30 is when some of the School of Rock starts, and then it just goes all the way till 7 p.m., and then the fireworks blast off from there. Houses. Well, houses for sale. We're back up to 234 from 228 last week. They're still the same $3.9 million house and the $248,000 townhouse for sale. And sold report, we sold four houses March 30th through April 20th, with the most expensive being $939,000, the cheapest being $375,000, with our average being $704,000 for the week. And we are at 603 homes sold since December of 2024, and our average price is $680,000. So there we go. Town meeting updates. It's been a little bit since we've done some of the Facebook and live streams are still not getting posted very quickly from Facebook to YouTube. So we're just kind of having to wait sometimes for that. But we have May 12th. There's no agenda for that one still, which is kind of crazy. But on the Planning Commission side and Board of Commissioners, we had a Board of Commissioners meeting on May 7th. And basically with that one, we had the resolutions that were all here. We had the Armada Football Club show up and kind of go through some of that. We had on the new business side, Resolution 2426, which was the mayor authorizing the city of Fairview, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract, documents to issue a notice to Fairview Police Department training facility for that. So that one passed. Which is basically allowed the mayor to help it move forward and go through that process there. Another resolution was 2626, which is amending resolution 5724 to modify the contract award to ARPA stormwater improvements projects. And that was through the city manager. So this is one of the new things that kind of got passed through there. This is the first time for that to go through. Resolution 2726 was Board of Commissioner to expand the Belvoir Phase 2. And this also passed. Basically, this is like acknowledging that it's a subdivision development agreement and kind of how all this works, that the bond and all that should be $5.3 million and some of the construction fees and who's paying for what, where this the developer's paying for this, the city's paying for that. How the easements are going to be, and just a very detailed document. It's, you know, 7 pages of all this. And so you can see all that on the show notes there. And then Ordinance 2026-08, this was to talk about the amended budget. And this is, as we know, we've covered this a couple times. There's a lot of stuff going on in the budget as we start getting ready for our July 1st is our new fiscal year and trying to get the budget all done for that. And this shows that, you know, in that budget that the revenue changes increase from $100, lost $500. So, you know, plus or minus $400. And so then there was just a couple things. There was a decrease of some of the admin costs of $70,000, decrease of some court costs by $4,200, decrease of the finance department of $1,700, decrease of the planning department of $90,000, police department by $57,000 by that, because there was an increase and a decrease. And fire department was a decrease, increase of $1.237 million, but an overall increase of $1.17 million. And this is all related to that kind of like the firework, the fire truck order. And then the public works increase of 17, decrease of 40. So overall, a decrease of 23,000, increase of 2,200 to parks. And then it kind of goes down planning department, a credit for the bond of $268,000, And then they had basically a couple things highlighted, that there was a surplus of decrease of $320,000 on the park side, and the Public Works for the street aid, an increase and decrease of $305,000. So basically just moving $305,000 on the Public Works side. And that there was a $1,000 increase and decrease on the police side for the drug stuff. And that passed and got in there. So basically some minor tweaks to it, and basically calling that out so that's officially on the record. I know it's going to take them a while to actually get all that stuff situated, so we'll have to see. And some of those reductions were related to not expanding a department that was budgeted to be expanded, and some of the decreases were by lowering it and vice versa. So we'll start to see more details on this soon, I'm sure. On April 30th, we had the town hall, and there's not one till July 30th. They take, the whole May and June off on that recap there. So there's no agenda for that, so we'll have to see. So this is just citizens' comments. Basically, there's a Mother's Day fundraiser that was going on May 8th and 9th, Fairview Nutrition and Stern Properties. Proceeds went to the Fairview Police Department Shop with a Cop. Park scholarships are going. Funds are going for the summer camp. Invest in Fairview dinner was done. A fundraising event held on May 15th at Camp Marymount will help cover the cost of city's ice storm. Tickets are $100 per person. So if you want to go help pay us back a little bit for all this, then head over there. The local theater, the Fairview Community Theater, is doing a play on the weekend of the 8th, which was this last weekend. Sports victory, the ladies Falcons softball team recently won the Williamson County and Middle School Association Championship. Congratulations there. There was mention of some of the disaster emergency management care. One of the residents related, retired fire chief with disaster experience, formally requested that the city conduct a detailed after action review of its response of that action at the storm. Noted that residents not officially accepted by the city, such as, you know, people in Goodwin Farms, were denied disaster debris cleanup services. There's other fire mitigation storms from Bowie Park and all that, and they had a cleanup this weekend too. We'll get into that. There was a talk about detention ponds versus retention ponds and kind of how all those work together. Talked about the Bowie Park cleanup as they're getting ready for that. They also talked about the healthcare facilities with HCA TriStar and Ascension, seeking that emergency room certificate of need, which is coming up. Addressing concerns, commissioners addressed residents' concerns about the noise and traffic, clarifying that helicopters would be used only for critical life-saving transports, and ambulances would be the primary transfer, talking about the ER. And then they talked about the community benefits, that how the ER could save lives and stabilize patients and all that. One resident shared a personal story of surviving a venomous snake bite because she reached a freestanding ER in time. The certificate of need hearing is May 27th at 9 a.m. at the Cordell Hull Building in Nashville. I hope to be able to make it over there because I would love to be able to see and hear how they're going to argue this. As I kept reading through these hundreds of pages of the competing documents of which one does it. There was also some allegations of some complaints of alleging some of the city officials and how they had outed Mr. Tom Daughtry, and she alleged there was a conflict of interest between his wife and him also doing that. This is to Buffalini and plus all that. So there's all kinds of back and forth there. The commissioner has already denied any illegal meetings took place. They explained, you know, getting legal advice or the termination over that with the city attorney. They urged residents to file formal ethics complaints by the city attorney rather than spreading unsubstantiated rumors in a hearing. And uncontrolled growth, one person voiced their frustration over the city's rapid expansion, city rezoning issues, shrinking lot sizes, and heavily congested infrastructure on Highway 100. So that's all good there. May 4th is our next, the Parks Board, which was there. May 13th is around town coffee, so that's coming up this week. And, so that was kind of the town meeting stuff. State of Tennessee. Well, I think the top news in the redistricting was the Supreme Court's decision last week. On April 29th, the Supreme Court ruled in 6-3 in Louisiana versus Calais, striking down a Louisiana congressional map that included that included a second majority black district, labeling it as unconstitutional racial gerrymander. This decision restricts the use of race for drawing district, narrowing Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and altering the framework for future redistricting battles, which we have those ranked there. And basically, the key aspects of the decision: the court held that the 2024 Louisiana map, which created a second majority black district to comply with lower court orders, relied heavily on race. Section 2 impact, while not explicitly overturning Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, the ruling makes it harder to prove violations, requiring evidence that states intentionally used race in a way that violates the 14th Amendment, which is the Equal Protection Clause. The Snake District was invalidated. The court conservative majority opinion by Justice Alito deemed that the map's sixth congressional district an unconstitutional race gerrymander. And the broader implications of this is this decision allows Republicans officials in other states and other officials in all states, I think it's there, including Alabama and Tennessee, to consider redrawing lines to break up the districts previously designated by minority opportunity districts. Immediate fallout: the ruling primarily affects the 2026 midterms and beyond, the potential immediate pressure on Louisiana to draw new lines on the map, filling those deadlines by all six of those points. The ruling is a significant victory for those who argue maps were racial gerrymandering, while voting rights advocates argue it weakens the crown jewels of the civil rights movement. So we'll see how that does there. You can find lots of stories about this, especially when it relates to Tennessee. But I found even from all our major news channels, they never, ever, and even in this case, reference the bill where you could actually go see it, which is House Bill 7003 and Senate Bill 7004. And this is where it actually describes the descriptions of the nine congressional districts beginning in August 2026 federal primary elections. And so this is, you know, I've got the link to it actually in the show notes there. But then here's a couple. This is a very long thing, but let's just read through the points within this bill verbatim here. Due to the accelerated timeline, it is assumed that there will be a mandatory increase in local expenditures of $500,000 in this fiscal year 25 to 26 to account such for overtime pay. These costs are expected to vary significantly based on the county size and complexity. The proposed legislation will impact 42 counties. For purposes of this analysis, a county is considered impacted if any portion of the county is reassigned to a different congressional district. So there's 42 that will get it. Based on the Secretary of State's June 1st, 2025 election statistics report, these specific counties contain 2,308,724 registered voters. Not all such voters have changes made to their congressional district as a result of this legislation. It is reasonably assumed 75% of the impacted voters, or a total of 1,731,543 individuals, will receive notifications of their new voter registration card. Based on the information received from the divisions of the elections, the cost of print and mail each card is roughly $1.10 for them. There will be a local increase in expenditures of $1,904,697,000. And that's to mail out those notices, right? So it's going to cost us $2 million to mail this stuff out. pretty crazy that cost $1.10. I would have thought that it would be done cheaper. But then our next line here, the total mandatory increase in local expenditures for fiscal year 25-26 will be $3,154,697. The $500,000 for overtime, $250,000 in system modifications, $500,000 in additional election administration costs, and then $1.9 million for those postage and registration cards getting sent out to say that basically you're in this district versus that district, and some of your voting locations will stay exactly the same too. To the extent the separation of legislation is enacted to fully require the local cost to be reimbursed by the state, and estimated expenditures would be covered by state funds. So they know that this is going to cost more money, and so this kind of goes into that. And so I found this on the redistricting research, so it kind of stands out. To know what's there. So this happened on May 7th. These were signed by the governor, right? And so this is, when we look at this House Bill 7000, Senate Bill 7003 and House Bill 7004, vice versa there, because they're glued together. On May 7th, it was also a very busy day by the governor. And so it's really interesting to look at this Tennessee legislation link that I posted in here in the show notes. We can see that, like, Grace retired and was recognized for her contributions. They recognized the Ravenwood High School JV soccer team for winning the TSSAA Division I Class AAA District 10 JV champion. House Bill 1271 introduced and declares the policy of the state that there would only be two sexes, a biological male and a biological female, which amends TCA Title 213, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And that the Etowah Boy Scout Troop 74 is a 100-year anniversary. And there was over 50 things signed on just that single day by the governor that would pass them or announce them as proclamations. So it's kind of interesting to kind of see this. And just like I said, you know, some of the redistricting stuff was drawing the map, but most of the stuff that was in that bill was the fiscal part of it for the redistricting. There was lots of protest and I guess I wouldn't say riots, but definitely very, very, I mean, one of the council members or the House members lit a Confederate flag on fire in the halls and then went outside and, you know, proceeded to do a narration there, too. So this is definitely a very sensitive topic here. I think it was the top of the news for the state of Tennessee because the Supreme Court decision happened and within a week, we had made our move, if you want to call it that, and made our changes. So it's been voted on. It's done. The ship has sailed. The bills. Well, nothing new other than a fiscal review, which we have linked in here. And we've seen those before. That's basically where we see the meetings where they say we want you need another $1 million to finish this at MTSU. We need $30,000 to finish this change order, that change order, this change order, that thing. Right. But other than that, I still just have under the bills here, since there was nothing else, I still have all the details listed for the May 27th Certificate of Need hearing, which is at the Cordell Legislation Building, which is 425 Representative John Lewis Way North in Nashville. And that's Senate hearing room number one. We will see what that is. I still have the report for those for the deemed complete Certificate of Needs for the St. Thomas West Hospital and the TriStar Horizon Medical Center Fairview listing, which are both of those are multi-hundred page documents with lots of surveys. So May 13th is that physical review at there. And one thing that I did from there is I looked at that physical review. Basically, that physical review basically has a list of, you know, the company names that are going to speak on there. I still need to attend one because there is never any notes. There's never any footage of this. So maybe I can get to one in sometime later this year. But when I searched one, I just picked one of these names of one of the companies, and I just randomly picked Youth Villages because it was called up in Health and Human Services a couple times. When we talk about any nonprofit, you have to look at the Form 990, which tells you how much money they've made and how they spent it. This is where we can see if a nonprofit spends 90% of their money on salaries and marketing and 10% on the cause, or any combination or relationship of those two. We can see in this situation, they took in $483 million. They spent $454 million. So basically spent almost everything, with $354 million in assets and $50.2 million in liabilities. So they have a chart there on the link that I have here that basically shows how in 2011 they went from 100 million, and 2025 they're at almost $400 million in assets, and everything has been growing exponentially since then. Then when we look at in there, we can see that more detail on there, where we can see on this page where they got 16% of their revenue from contributions, which would probably be the private thing, but 83% for the program services that they charge the state, $273 million for wages, and $9.9 million for the executive wages, right? And when we look at the executive wages, we can see like the CEO made $1.5 million, the CFO, $745,000, CEO. So basically all the way down is all the way into the $300,000 for the director general. So we can see pay increases for these people over the years. So when they first started this back in the day, you can see they barely made $100,000. And then now he's making $1.5 million. This is a very common practice that where these salaries are increased year over year to help spend the money that they make, because a nonprofit is supposed to spend their money down at the end of each fiscal year. This isn't meant to be a hit piece on Youth Villages Incorporated out of Bartlett, Tennessee, but this is just one of those things that I think it's very important for anybody donating to anything is to be educated a little bit and just take a quick look, put the name in the Googles and type in Form 990 and learn what they're doing and how they're doing it, because I think that's very, very important in this day and age so that you know where the money's going, how they're spending it. And now it's not a very detailed thing, but some of the statements that are made in a Form 990 help justify a lot of things too. So I think it's important for you, if you're donating, research it. And if we picked any of the other nonprofits that are in that fiscal review, we probably would have saw very similar situation where basically 90% of their stuff that comes in goes right back out as expenses. And, you know, they're doing great things with the youth in the state of Tennessee and their foster care system. And they have all the stats on there of, you know, 80% success rates of people coming into the program, coming out of the program, finishing school, getting jobs, stuff like that. So it's great. But it's just you need to always be checking out this kind of stuff. How's the hill? Well, you know, it's definitely passable. We're back to warm with a little bit chilly nights, I guess some people would say, especially if you're from Florida. This week, the weather guessers are predicting highs from 71 to 81 and lows from 44 to 55. So there, and we even got a little sprinkle of rain heading in our forecast, which is great because we definitely need it. New businesses, you know, nothing new was spotted. Jingo Java moved over to Uncle Lenny's still, and Vigilance Martial Arts moved to Publix. Ace Hardware is getting a lot closer now. Everything's paved. They're starting, looks like they're getting ready to start doing the final landscaping, which is great to see. And there's still the same three commercial properties for sale and the same three properties for lease on Fairview Boulevard. But across from Carr Orthodontics is a three strip mall, however you want to call it, listing on there, but I don't see it on MLS. So I'm not sure. I guess it's just privately listed right now to try to get some businesses interested. That has not come up in any hearing, that piece of property. So we'll have to see. And speaking of Carr Orthodontics, that is, if you need braces or any other extra teeth things, we've talked about Fairview Family Dentist before. Carr Orthodontics will take care of your smile, get you all juiced up, and get your braces and retainers and all those things to help make your smile better and your bite better and, you know, your life better, because there's definitely a lot to do with your smile from there. So if you've got teeth that need to get straightened and jiggled around, then definitely go help work out with that team. They do some amazing stuff there, and I have their stuff listed and their website. And I know that both dentists in Fairview refer to Carr, and it makes sense for you to go to those types of places since it's right down the road from us. So you definitely want to head over there. Job openings, we're still 46 to 46. The city planner was put in. Oh, hold on, let me see. No, 46. We went from 46 to 47. We have 47 jobs right now publicly listed. And so that was one that was added, was the city planner job. There's still been a police officer job, but that city planner actually has a pay range of $77,000 to $117,000 a year. You can apply there on the website. And just like we've talked about, there are lists of every service business that you drive up and down to Brookside Properties, to Covenant Primary Care, to, you know, Big Heart Moving. But if you drive down the road and you see a business, there's pretty much a job opening there, at least posted on the website. So definitely check that out. And there's lots of places to work around here, which is great. And if anyone has a job opening, just use the contact form on the website if it's not already on Indeed or other posts from there. History nugget. So this one we're going to be diving into 1776. 1775. The Transylvania Company, Transylvania Company of North Carolina bought a large tract of land from the Cherokee. Daniel Boone worked for that company, traced a path from Virginia passing through the Cumberland Gap, known as the Wilderness Road, that became the principal road for all new settlements. So there we go, 1775. Upcoming events, lots of sports and things are wrapping up and rocking and rolling. So if you look at the calendar on our website that has all those glued together, it's there. The Arts and Crafts Fair, recap of that. That thing looked like it went great. Tons of vendors and stuff like that. This weekend we have, or Friday, we have the movie night at Bowie Park. I don't think I've seen from them what movie it is yet, but we'll see. June 6th is our fishing rodeo at Veterans Park. And July 3rd is the 4th of July celebration. And so we'll see some of that come on. The, just like we talked about, the voting stuff has kind of wrapped up where the, now we're waiting for the next wave of state primary and county general, which starts on, you know, that voting day is August 6th. And the early voting for that is July 17th through August 1st. So we'll see that kind of come through there in this next wave of elections. For the kids, well, there are still tons of activities to do here in Fairview to keep your kids engaged. There are cheer programs, recreational teams for baseball, basketball, softball, football, and much more. There is a thriving Girl Scout and Scouting America program here in Fairview. If you have a homeschooler, always check Bowie Park schedule for the clubs that meet there. And since it's open, it's going to happen now. If you have kids who are interested in dance, gymnastics, cheer, or anything along those lines, please check out Lala's Dance Studio and Elevate Gymnastics and Cheer. Vigilance Martial Arts is our local taekwondo and jiu-jitsu school that teaches way more than just moves. The Fairview Jacket Youth Wrestling Program has produced a lot of state champions, college scholarship recipients, and also offers some cool summer care options to get your kids into it. The Yay Theater Camp is from kindergarten through eighth graders. Sign up by June 15th. That date range is July 6th through 10th, and that is a 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. thing. School news. Well, we are a week and a half out from there. This is our last full week of school. May 21st is our half day, early dismissal. Hawk and Tiger news, didn't see anything new there. Other than I know that they both have had their field day, which is always the highlight. And that is always a super fun time if you've got kids there. And that's a great time if you did make it to volunteer and go help out. Falcon news. Got the newsletter this week. The band orchestra performed at the Kentucky Kingdom. The eighth grade Alice in Wonderland play wrapped up. The Beta Club ceremony is this week, along with the basketball tryouts. academic awards and promotion awards for the eighth graders are all lined up. So it's getting busy. As there is May 11th, today is where the sixth graders, so the Fairview Elementary and Westwood kids are going to come over and see the middle school. And a lot of all that and Beta Club's going to happen, just like we said. Summer Orchestra Camp is still going there. That's June 22nd through 26th, and that's at 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Freedom Middle School. And that's open to all rising 7th through 9th graders. Registration closes in just a couple weeks. Got the newsletter this week from our Jacket News. We got the newsletter this week. The fun fact that was in the top of that for Mr. Butler was that celebrated annually on May 11th is Hostess Cupcake Day, commemorates the 1919 launch of the first commercial cupcake by Indianapolis-based Taggart Baking Company. Originally known as chocolate cupcakes, these iconic treats featuring icing and cream filling remain a popular snack sold with millions sold annually. This is also where some people will call these squiggle cakes because it has that little squiggle of frosting. AP testing is starting back up this week. Senior awards and finals will start on the 18th. 11 theater students were nominated for Spotlight Awards, and if they win, they could advance to the Jimmy Awards in New York City. So congratulations to all those nominees. We'll see what happens on May 24th with that vote of the local kind of chapter of it. Two Fairview students were recognized for their commitment to join the military, with one enlisting to the Air Force and the other in the National Guard in a ceremony last week. In July, there will be a band camp and there'll be some auditions for the Drumline and Color Guard this week from May 14th through 19th. The bowling team is already sending out their 2026 fall notice of their season in September to December. May 21st is the volleyball team tryouts, and and then from there, the Fairview Bass team has a couple more things, a couple more events to do with the state championship on May 30th. The men's soccer team is wrapping up with the semifinals, and hopefully we'll see some of that kind of coming through there. It will go on from there. The Fairview, the men's soccer team is wrapping up their stuff there. We hopefully progress to the state finals from there. We didn't see anything mentioned for the tennis team, but the state tournament is coming up on May 12th, and there's a couple things coming on from there. The track team had their sectionals last week, and two of the women's relay teams qualified for state, the 4x4 and the 4x8, I think. And there was one field athlete that made it, I think, for discus and shot put. Congratulations to, I guess, the six of them almost. And other than that, just like we talked about there, the testing is all wrapping up. So they were done with TCAPS, but it also comes back to everything else there. Faith moment. This week, I wanted to definitely have a special call out for Happy Mother's Day. I found this and I thought it stood out. M is for the million things she gave me. O is for the only that she is growing old. O means only that she's growing old. T is for the tears she shed to save me. H is for the heart of purest of gold. E is for her eyes with love that light shines. R is the right, and right she will always be. Put them all together and they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. And just for our regular kind of faith moment, we'll go to Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president. A man has deprived himself of the best there is in the world who has deprived himself of this, a knowledge of the Bible. When you have read the Bible, you will know that it is the word of God because you will have found it the key to your own heart, your own happiness, and your own duty. America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify the devotion elements of the righteousness which are derived from those holy scriptures. Donations. On the donation front, nothing new from Fountain. Still waiting for some payment stuff there. And if you support us, just definitely use a Next Generation app. If you're just using the Apple Podcast app or the built-in Google app, you're missing out a lot of features. You're not seeing the chapters and the pictures that we post. You're not seeing links to the show notes, and you're not knowing when the shows go from there. So definitely use one of those modern podcast apps. It'll help you donate and, you know, pay a dollar, pay 42 cents, something. Other than that, you know, thank you. If you found this podcast helpful, thank you. Please support the show with your time, talents, and treasure. If you have any ideas or suggestions, please use it. Share it with us. Use that contact form. You are a producer of this show. You are spending your time listening to this show and learning some things about Fairview, Tennessee, and our state. Share your talent with your skills and knowledge to help the show and Fairview. With your treasure, you're receiving this product for free without any paid advertisement. You're getting truly local news. And if that's worth something, please consider supporting us financially using the value for value system for that. If you have anything, make sure you follow us on social media. And as always, thank y'all so much. And I hope y'all have a great week. Thank y'all.